Turning God's Word to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles 7. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. That's where we read God's word. Our text is verses 14 and 15. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Beloved people of God, Solomon had prayed to God in the course of dedicating the temple that he had built to God. In answer to his prayer, the Lord appeared to him at night and spoke to him the word of verses 12 through 22, 12 to the end of the chapter, including the words of our text, verses 14 and 15. One of the concerns that Solomon had and which he expressed in prayer to God was that God would forgive his people when they sinned. And when they came to him in prayer in the temple to confess those sins. One of the things then that the Lord talked to Solomon about was exactly that concern. One of the things that God talked to Solomon about when he appeared to him at night was that he would hear those prayers. And that's especially the focus of the text that we consider this evening. Now this week, we have a week of examination, a week of preparation to come to the sacrament and the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. How can we prepare or examine ourselves without praying to God? Really, to say that we have a week of examination, a week of preparation, is to say the same thing as we have a week of prayer ahead of us. A week of prayerfully examining ourselves and preparing ourselves to come to the table of the Lord. And this week of prayer is a week of repentant prayer. We need to recognize that as well and be prepared to be engaged in that prayer, repentant prayer. How can we examine and prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord without repentance? So we are very interested in God's Word in this text tonight. As we are busy in this week in prayer, and as we are busy in this week confessing our sins as involved in repentant prayers, will He hear, is our question. Will He forgive? What will His answer be? That is, to put it another way, what can we expect next week? Next week, Sunday morning, as we come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, what can we expect? We can expect that there He answers our prayers. When we come to the table of the Lord, not that He hasn't answered them in our hearts prior to coming to the sacrament, but there in that sacrament is God's answer to our prayers, if it so be that God hears our prayers. So we ask again, will God hear? And therefore, will He answer? The text tells us, beloved, to our comfort, the text tells us, He will hear. He will hear our prayers. Let's consider that more fully as we consider the text under the theme, Hearing from Heaven. And that, of course, describes God and His activity. God hears us from heaven. Hearing from heaven. First of all, a repentant prayer really answers the question, What does God hear from heaven? He hears a repentant prayer. Secondly, in this place, from whence does God hear the repentant prayer? In this place, the text says, referring to God's temple. And thirdly, a covenantal reason. Why, in the end, why does God hear from heaven the repentant prayer uttered in the temple? The text presents God as living in heaven. Now that's, of course, not to contradict His omnipresence. Children, remember, omnipresence means that God is everywhere. He's present. He exists. He is everywhere. He is. Wherever we go, there is God. In Him we live and move and have our being. Everywhere God is. And yet the text says He will hear from heaven, presenting God as one then who lives in heaven. What the text means to bring out, without contradicting God's omnipresence, but what the text means to bring out is to emphasize that God is transcendent, that God is high and lifted up, that God is a God of tremendous, indeed infinite, majesty. He is a glorious God. That is, He is a God who lives in heaven, high above the earth. He is a God at the same time who is powerful. He's the sovereign God. He's not the God who is like us and lives here and is restricted to being here. He is a God who is transcendent, a God who is high above in His power and in His sovereignty. And therefore, God as God in heaven is the God who controls all things from on high. The God who is above all things, sovereign and powerful over all things, and therefore controls all things, able then is this God to answer our prayer as the God in heaven. The fact that God is the God presented here as in heaven, we'll come to see, means more than that. But it means that, first of all. The proper one to pray to then, the only one to whom we may pray is God in heaven. The only one that there is any purpose or use in praying to is the sovereign, mighty, powerful God in heaven. And God says in the text, "Then will I hear from heaven." When my people pray, then from heaven I will hear. He will hear. Take hold of that, beloved, by faith. Let that sink into your heart with comfort and joy this evening. God, the Almighty, Sovereign, Omnipotent God, will hear. The great, majestic God will hear our prayers. That He will hear means especially two things. It means that He will receive our prayer and He will respond to our prayer. First of all, that God will hear our prayer in this week as we prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord means that God will receive our prayer. He will not reject our prayer as too high, too majestic a God to be bothered with our concerns, to be bothered with our confessions. He will hear, He will receive, He will not reject our prayers. He will not ignore our prayers. He will not be a God high in heaven, concerned about carrying out His plan and His counsel over all this world, having no time or interest in our little prayers. But the text says, God in heaven will hear. He will receive our prayers. He will listen. And He will receive our prayers in grace. That's the meaning too. Not simply God will listen, take note of what we say, and then seek to do the opposite, seek to destroy us in His wrath and anger. Not as if the Lord in heaven says, "How dare they lift that petition up before my holy face?" But He hears, He receives our prayer in grace. Free, unmerited grace. And He responds to our prayer as well. God from heaven not only will hear, not only will receive, but do nothing about it. It is not the meaning of the text that God is in heaven. His ears are open. He listens. He hears. He takes note of what we have to say. And then turns around and goes about His business and does nothing in response to our prayers. But He will respond or He will answer us. And again, of course, we're speaking in the language of Scripture. We're speaking from our point of view. Ultimately, it's never that God responds to the creature. It's not that the creature initiates something. It's not that we or man come to God and initiate something and then God in turn responds to us. All is under His sovereign control. He has eternally planned the prayers of His people. He gives those unto us and we bring them unto Him. And then He says, "I will answer them. I'm pleased to do that. I will." And He answers or responds in grace again, not in anger, not as if to say to us, "Well, finally now you came to me and confessed your sins At last, it's about time. I hear you. But now there's some serious things we need to talk about. He answers in grace. In grace. What does he receive and respond to? What does he hear and answer from heaven? The humble, repentant prayer. That's the teaching of the text. God hears the humble, repentant prayer. Now, of course, this is not the only thing that God in heaven will hear, not the only thing that God will receive and respond to, the only thing that God will hear and answer. He also hears our praises in prayer. When we come to Him and praise Him, He hears that and receives that in grace as well. He also hears our thanksgivings when we come to Him in prayer and we utter forth how thankful we are to Him. He hears in heaven those prayers as well, and He hears our supplications, our requests for all sorts of things according to His will. He hears all of our prayers, all of our petitions. But when there is sin, in the context of our sin and sinfulness, the repentant prayer is what He hears. And it is regarding sin that the text speaks. The text is not speaking of all manner of all kinds of different prayers that are brought to God, but prayer in the context of sin. That's seen from the text in that God says, my response is that I will forgive their sin. That in the first place. But also, it's seen from the text that God is referring to sin in that phrase at the end of verse 14, and will heal their land. We may wonder, what does that mean? God will heal their land. Why does He bring that in? Why does He bring that up here in this answer to Solomon and to us? We find an answer in verse 13, the verse just prior to our text. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, which affects the land, which affects the people who live there as well, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, it is in that context God's speaking of, that context that God will hear the repentant prayer. Because when God brings that out, that He will do that, those things to His people, shut up heaven that there be no rain, command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among His people, it means He will do that as loving chastening to them on account of their sin. We notice that when we compare our text with chapter 6. And perhaps you could read chapter 6 later on this evening to get the full context in our minds. But just for one example, we look at chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. And there we read this. This is Solomon's prayer. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against Thee. Yet if they pray toward this place and confess Thy name and turn from their sin when Thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. Again, the same chapter, we can look at verses 36 and following. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Simple teaching of the passage is that when there is sin, and sin is persisted in especially, and walked in unrepentantly, then there is chastening dealt by the God in heaven. And that chastening brings from his people a repentant prayer. And when they pray that repentant prayer, God says, I hear. That implies very clearly that God does not hear. God does not hear the vain boast of the self-righteous sinner, the one who points to himself, the one who makes much of himself, the one who brags and boasts of his goodness and his right to be answered. God does not hear the prayer of one who pretends insincerely to be humble and to be repentant. God does not hear the prayer of one who is impenitent, one who will not repent of his sins, or of one who stands independent of God, says, I need not seek his face, I will stand on my own goodness and by my own right and make my prayer. God will not hear that prayer. God hears the repentant prayer. That's the promise. The promise of the text. Verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. That's the promise that we take to our hearts in this week as we prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord. That's the prayer that we pray in this week, the prayer that is humble and repentant. That is that we humble ourselves before God. That's a repentant prayer. That's the prayer God hears. He says, those that humble themselves before me. The word literally means to be subdued. To be subdued. Rather than to be rushing about unrestrainedly in the ways of sin, to be subdued. To rein ourselves in, to rein that old nature in, and to be humble before God, to be brought down, to be brought low, to recognize it is indeed true. God is in heaven, And I am on earth, and I am sinful, and have sinned over against that great and glorious, majestic God, my God. That's to be humbled. And God adds that a repentant prayer is one in which one turns from their wicked ways. One who has turned from his wicked ways and prays is heard. To turn from their wicked ways means to return, that is, to turn back again from paths of sin. How often isn't that what our life is all about? Over and over again, go back to that path. We're on it, we're walking along, trusting in God, quiet in His ways, at peace in our souls, and then before we know it, somehow we're not there anymore. We've wandered off. And God says, turn back again. Turn from those wicked ways of self-reliance or covetousness or lust or whatever else it is. Turn away from those ways and return unto me. Seek my face, he says. Those who seek my face, their prayers will be heard. To seek God's face means to look for good from God. Not to seek to find goodness here in this earth or in others or in myself, but to seek God's face, to be concerned, what does God say? What does God think? How does God view me? That's to seek God's face. Those who humble themselves, those who turn from their wicked ways, those who seek my face, their prayer, that prayer rendered in that way, that prayer God will hear. Surely God will hear. Always God will hear that prayer. Again, beloved, we rely not only on this text, we rely on all of the Scripture, which tells us over and over again, the contrite heart God will not despise. Trust that. Take hold of that in this week. The broken heart, the humble heart, God will not cast out and cast away. God will hear the prayer of those who come to Him repentantly. Then will I hear from heaven, God says, and forgive their sin. That's His answer. That indicates too what we're praying for as we come to Him humble and turning from our ways and wicked ways and seeking His face. We're praying, Lord God in heaven, the only one who can forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, not on the basis of what I've done, not on the basis of my repentant prayer, but forgive me, Father. Blot my sin out. Remember it no more. Assure me in my heart and in my soul that that sin stands not between us, but is forgiven, is washed away, blotted out, so that I am white as snow before Thee, and wear the robes of righteousness, righteousness procured by another and granted to me in Thy grace. Then will I hear from heaven, and forgive I will their sin, God says, and will heal their land. That's God's promise too. If you walk in a way of sin and God brings a heavy hand of chastening upon you and you come to Him and you come to Him in a repentant prayer, seeking His face, seeking forgiveness, He will forgive you and He will heal. He will heal that which is at pain as well. That's the sure promise of God. Not a promise I myself personally bring to you tonight, except that I bring you the Word of God. It's God's promise. Come to the Lord's Supper, come to His table with that confidence, confidence in Him and in His promise. Prepare. Prepare in prayer, repentantly, and come in the confidence that He will answer. He will say to you, I forgive you all of your sin. But the prayer that we utter in our preparation and that we utter in view to coming to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the prayer must be in connection with the temple. Remember that this Word of God was given in connection to the dedication of the temple. That's why God says in verse 15, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. My eyes will be open. I am looking for those who pray in this place. My ears are open to those who pray in this place. That was a great comfort to the Old Testament saint. What a joyful day. We read of them going home merry in their heart for all the goodness that God had shown to them. And this too, their merriness and gladness, that God would hear them as they prayed in the temple. Chapter 6 brings out that they would pray toward the temple. We read of that too in some of those verses a few moments ago. Couldn't help but think of Daniel, the land of captivity, praying with his window open toward where the temple had been. Assured then, no doubt, that God would hear his prayer. An account of that temple. And that's, beloved, because God in heaven also means that He's living in heaven in distinction from us. That is, He is heavenly. He is spirit and spiritual. He is of another kind. He is from another realm. He is holy and He is pure. And it is only in the temple that we can come to that holy, heavenly God. How can that holy, heavenly God who lives in the heaven hear the prayer of the sinner? Even the repentant, humble prayer is still the prayer of a sinner and is still a prayer marked and spotted with sin. How can God hear that prayer? Only through the temple. You recall as we read through chapter 7 how often mention of sacrifice is made in those verses. In connection with the dedication of the temple, there was sacrifice. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of creatures sacrificed. All of them, every one of them, pointing ahead to the great sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Savior of His people. Even verse 12, we read God's word. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place, the temple, to myself for an house of sacrifice. The temple was about sacrifice. The temple was about the sprinkled blood. The temple was about atonement. Praying in the temple or praying toward the temple meant praying with in mind and by faith, praying regarding the sacrifice, praying regarding atonement, and with in mind the sprinkled blood, ultimately the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ. Today then, when there is no specific building, the temple, how do we pray? We ought not think, well, we come here to this building, and in this building, this geographical location, this place, then we can pray. Beloved, we could just as well be meeting today, tonight, or next Sunday morning in some barn or some field somewhere, at least from the point of view of its spiritual value or advantage. Certainly, meeting here is far more convenient and conducive for good worship, but no more great spiritual advantage is found here than anywhere else. This place doesn't refer to this church building, but this place refers to Christ again. Christ Jesus is the temple of God. In Christ is that place where God and man commune with one another. It is on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we come to God. Pray then a repentant and humble prayer for Jesus' sake, in Christ's name. Pray expecting that God will hear you as you pray regarding Christ's sacrifice and His sprinkled blood and His atonement. In this place means enter spiritually by faith. Enter into Christ, beloved, to pray your repentant prayers in this week. Enter into that which He has done for us. Enter into His finished sacrifice, His atonement. Clothe yourself with His sprinkled blood. Pray in that place. Or to use the other language of the context, toward this place, to think of it that way, then we pray our repentant prayer toward Jesus Christ in His name, directing our prayer to Him and saying, Lord God in heaven, hear me. For Christ's sake, I pray to Thee in His name. I come to Thee through Him. I pray toward Christ. I direct my prayers to Him and therefore through Him unto Thee. With in mind always His perfect atonement. Then be assured God in heaven will hear and answer. Pray in this place. Why will God hear? What's the reason? What's the ultimate reason that God will hear us? Beloved, the ultimate reason is because God is a covenant God. The ultimate reason is because we are His covenant people and He is our covenant God and He is ever faithful unto His covenant here in heaven. That God hears us in heaven means also that God will hear us in His place of covenant fellowship. That's what heaven is too. The place where God draws His people unto, draws the souls of His saints unto, so that He can commune and fellowship with them there in perfection. Heaven is the place where God reveals Himself in grace. How can God in heaven hear us in grace and commune with us It's because He is our God. Or, in the language of the text, because we are His people. You notice that's how the text begins. If my people, which are called by my name, and that's just one part, but a shortened version of the covenantal formula that we find over and over throughout the Scripture. They shall be my people and I will be their God. Here we hear God saying, they are my people because I am their God. That's implied. They are my people. They are called by my name. That is, they're mine. I've chosen them. I've sovereignly and graciously elected them to be my own people. Chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. It's God's own choice, and that as our covenant God. Verse 14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven or in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their hearts. There is no God like Thee which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto Thy people. God hears us. Not because of our prayer, not because our prayer is so good. God hears us when we utter a repentant prayer because we are His chosen in Jesus Christ. And as we pray in that place, in this place, in Lord Jesus Christ, and with our eye of faith upon Him. But then too yet, beloved, God as our covenant God has provided for us a mediator of the covenant, that God would hear, that God would hear. That's pictured in Solomon's prayer too. Solomon stood over the people as a type of Jesus Christ. Solomon prayed exactly what God says He will do here in our text. Chapter 6, verse 40. Solomon says, Now, my God, let, I beseech Thee, Thine eyes be open, and let Thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Or rather, now we should say, our Lord Jesus Christ prays that with regard to us, God's people. Let, I beseech Thee, Thine eyes be open and Thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. In verse 15 of our text, God's answer, Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. That's why God hears us. He's appointed for us a Savior, a mediator, who prays on our behalf and prays, Lord God, let Thine ears be open. Let Thine eyes be open. Be attentive to the prayer of those people for whom I died and whom Thou hast chosen in eternity and whom Thou dost love. Listen and hear their humble, repentant prayers offered unto Thee in my name for my sake. And God says to him, as head of the covenant and to us, in heaven, from heaven, I will hear the humble prayer of those who pray in this place in the name of my Son. Prepare, beloved, with that confidence and come to the table next Sunday with that confidence and partake and hear God's answer of forgiveness. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word and for the comfort that Thou dost forgive. Thou dost forgive us all of our sins. We're aware of our sins, but Lord, open our eyes in this week to see them more clearly, that we may humble ourselves before Thee, that we may turn from our wicked ways, that we might seek Thy face. And direct our prayers through Jesus Christ unto Thee, our God, and be thereby prepared to hear Thy answer. And Thou wilt say, I forgive you all of your sins on the basis of the finished work of my Son, Jesus, your Savior, the living temple, whereby, as covenant God, I come to you, commune with you, my covenant people, and grant you every blessing. In His name we pray. Amen.